Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Glade House Bible Church. Let's begin this morning, as we always do, by entering into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for bringing us here today. We thank you, Father, that we're here in honor of your Son, Jesus Christ. His work is finished at the cross, and that means that we have been rescued out of sin and death, and we thank you for that, Father, and we also thank you that you want us to know all about it and to understand how what Jesus Christ has accomplished in his death and resurrection solves every problem in this life and brings us to a life that we can only imagine in the future. And so we just thank you that you gathered us here and that we also have the Holy Spirit to explain these things to us. Father, may the Spirit be here and guide us and direct us in everything that we do today in honor of your Son, in the singing, in the giving, in the preaching, in the fellowship with one another. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Please stand.
Thank you, singers. Let it be. I think that's what the Beatles meant to sing about when they wrote that song, but they didn't quite get there, but it's okay. Good morning again, everybody. A couple of announcements. First of all, I'd like to let everybody know that we are on the radio in both Tucson and Phoenix, Arizona, which I know is kind of far away from here. But I mentioned that because I'd also today like to publicly thank the Arizona Grace Bible Church people for sponsoring that radio show over the years. And by the way, did you like Joe's hat this morning? I want one of those, okay? If you're wondering what to get me for my birthday, oh, my wife says no. Because the only other hat I have is one of these huge floppy hats, you know, because I don't burn too much. But I don't think I'd look too good with my suit on and that. But that looks good. So anyway, as everybody, I think, well, most people know, this year we're also sponsoring a different missionary or evangelistic organization every month. I want to mention this morning that the reason we're doing this is because members of the congregation asked that we start doing this. So I want to let everybody know that this came from you, and so and also look for opportunities that the Lord may be tapping you on the shoulder to participate in one of these missionary organizations. That's part of what we're doing here, is to make you aware. As you know, last week, Keithy and Starling was here from Grace Prison Ministries, and you know the message he came to give was, where are the workers, right? And in the sense of saying that the church is to be evangelistic in nature. It's part of who we are. You know, if we're the body, that's part of our body. That's our feet, maybe. You know, the feet are associated with bringing the gospel. So it's part of who we are. And that ultimately boils down, if I could put it that way, to ultimately who some of us actually function as. So that's a function of the church, in the same way that ushers function, or the technology team, or the people teaching young people function. So too, we are to have a function. Now, some of that can be what you might call unorganized or informal, and that's a powerful thing, and that's what we've been studying for the last few months, the idea of using it's a horrible way to put it, but reaching out to our friends and our neighbors and our family and so forth. That's part of it. But then also there is the opportunity to move further in the sense of mission. And remember what Keithian talked about in terms of mission was crossing a cultural boundary. Now, that can be different things. Certainly, if people were to go to Africa, that would be clearly crossing a cultural boundary. But let me tell you something. Going to a prison is also crossing a cultural boundary. For many here, going to a school would be crossing a cultural boundary, right? So think about it that way. It's just the idea of reaching out, sort of getting out of your comfort zone, going to a place where you really do have to rely on God. Because it's just not natural for you to be there. So just realize that as we go through this, that there are going to be times when there will be this will turn to, okay, so what about us? And be ready for that, both individually and corporately. And that for the Spirit to be pulling on our hearts a bit at times. So Grace Prison Ministries is the organization that we're putting a spotlight on this month, that we stand with, that we're together with, that we're in partnership with. And I want to just mention a few things about this organization today. Grace Prison Ministries works to change the lives of prisoners. Very focused mission. You know, a ministry is a gift coupled with a group. Meaning that, okay, Keithian has the gift of evangelism and teaching. But then he's realized the calling on his life is to a particular group of people, the prisoners, a group of people that maybe a lot of people ignore, they don't want to have anything to do with. And he does that both through evangelism, bringing the gospel to men and women in prison, and sound Bible teaching so that after they're born again, they learn about who they are in Christ. They visit jails, and I'm learning about this. Jails are like short term. People that have been accused of something and haven't been sentenced yet and so forth. And then prisons. People are there for the long haul. And then youth detention centers, the young people. So it's pretty, there's a lot to it once you start looking at it. I mean, one of the things about our country is that we put a lot of people in prison. If you don't know that, we do. And so there's a lot of people that need to be ministered to in prison. And they're not obviously going to come to church. They can't come here. Right? They're like the elderly that are shut in, for example, or people in hospitals and so forth. There's a lot of people who are there, and the Bible calls us to go to them. The Bible calls us also to go to the orphan and the widow. Because these are the people that are on the fringes that you may, you know, easy to miss. Let me put it that way. Easy to forget about. And so that's what Keithian's organization, Grace Prison Ministry, does to the people that are in jail. They present the simple grace gospel of Jesus Christ. Very, very clear. Clearly presenting the gospel. As well as procedures for living the Christian life. A lot of people in prison, a lot of men in prison are there because they really never had an authority figure in their life that cared about them. And so that they need to understand God the Father and what God the Father is calling us to do. You know, for example, the song we sang this morning, just the closer walk with you, just the something that simple. It says that the Lord wants to walk with you every day. Well, these are things that especially men in prison need to know about, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, and to restore their lives, men and women who are scorned and rejected. And how is that done? Jesus Christ, his love, his hope, his forgiveness, all embodied in the person that went to the cross and rose from the dead. So that's what Grace Prison Ministries is about. And I just encourage you to check their website out. And this is their website. Let me get to that first. www.graceprisons.org. www.graceprisons.org. By the way, many of the organizations that we're going to feature this year are on our website as links. So that even if you forget about this, all you got to remember is www.lbible.org and go to the links and you'll find many of these. We'll probably be adding some too. So then the question becomes, what can we do to help? And there's really three things. There's more, but here are three things. Three is enough. You know, I'm a great fan of the number three because that's my God comes in a three, you know, so I love three. But anyway, pray. That's something you can do here, anywhere, anytime. Anytime you think about people in prison, you can pray now. Anytime you think about Keithian, you can pray. And remember that the Holy Spirit helps you. That's been such a great comfort to me in my prayer life to realize that. It's not all on me. I don't have to be a superstar prayer. You know, even the expression prayer warrior, you know, it's a great expression, but sometimes it makes it feel like we've got to be, you know, stupendous in order to be doing the prayer thing right. All we got to do is want to, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. So pray. Also give financially. We encourage people, especially this month, because at the end of this month, what we're going to do is we're going to bundle together all the offerings that we received over the month that you've designated for Grace Prison Ministries and send that on to Keithian. All righty, so you can do it this week or next week, but please do that. Please give. I don't want to say especially, but, you know, Keithian is one of these people who does not make a big deal about his needs, but he has them. Very big needs. I mean, I watched him when I was at the prison weekend in Nashville. I watched him and I kept asking him, as I see these things happening, like the food and the books and the supplies, I kept saying, well, who's doing that for you? And he said, nobody. Nobody's doing that. Now, he's married now and his wife started kicking in, so pray for her too. She's a wonderful woman. But you know what I'm talking about. And think about how much more Grace Prison Ministries could do if there was just a little bit more financial support of that organization. So that's something we can all do too. Small, whatever. You know, it's not the amount. It's just that the Lord put it on your heart to reach out to people that are scorned and rejected. And then the big one is starting a ministry here. Start a ministry here that visits local prisons or jails. That's big. Keithian would love that, by the way. He's been talking about that for years. He's saying, look, he said, it's so much easier, he said, for me to get into a prison in another state when there's people, Christians, that have already opened the door for me. He said, it's hard to do it from another state. You guys know his past. He's got a prison record. There's a lot of, by the way, there's a lot of states where if you got a prison record, they won't even let you in their prison. Okay? So, but we can start that process here. I already know there's people in this congregation that have a heart for prisoners because you've told me. So, but let's take the next step and let's actually put something together where we've got a visitation ministry starting. By the way, it all starts with one phone call. just a phone call to the chaplain of a prison in this area and say, hey, guess what? What? We're a Christian church and we got a heart for the prisoners. You know, can we come in sometime and just spend an evening with your men, with your women? We just want to preach. We just want to sing. That's how it starts, that easy. You know? And because you know that the Lord knows we are but dust. He knows that if we start to put this huge expectation about what we need to do, that we're just going to crumble a lot of times without his power. But he's always asking us just to take a step, right? The works that he prepared that we should what? Walk in them, Ephesians 2:10 says. That's all we got to do is wake up and then look around and say, where am I walking today? And maybe one of these days walking simply means picking up the phone, calling a chaplain in a prison around here and saying, hey, what can we do to help? So I put that on your hearts this morning as well, because that's what we're to do here. We're to build up, but we're also to exhort and rebuke sometimes if necessary. So that's part of the preaching ministry. So again, www.graceprisons.org. All righty, well, the title of today's message is this: where life reigns, death cannot. Where life reigns, death cannot. That life and death are opposites. And if God, the God of heaven, the living God, tells us that the power of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has already dealt with and destroyed the power of sin and death, guess what? He means it. He means that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you've got an indestructible life in you that will take you from here to eternity, literally. And that that life overcame death, already happened. Jesus Christ, I'm giving you the whole message, but too bad. Jesus Christ and John, we'll see it, 5:24 said, those people who believe in me have moved from death to life. That it's already happened. So open your Bibles this morning to Romans 8:1. I knew that's a big surprise to everybody. You know, I know. But here's the thing, all right? You should be asking yourself a question. When we get to a passage and we stop for a while, start to ask the question, why? You know, why is that? Let me tell you something. Romans 8:1 and 2 is a great cornerstone couple of verses. What I mean by that is this. Has anybody ever driven out of the state of Florida? Yes, you have. Well, if you have, you probably, I don't know for sure, but most likely you went from Florida to Georgia, right? That's how you drive most people. Now, I know there might be a little bit over here in whatever that next state is, Alabama, but I think mostly it's Georgia on the border. And you can't drive to Cuba, so I know you didn't do that. But when you drove from Florida to Georgia, there was a point at which maybe you didn't notice it, but there was maybe a sign on the side of the road that said, leaving Florida. Right? And then right next to it, maybe like 100 yards away, it says, welcome to Georgia. That's Romans 8, 1-2. It summarizes everywhere we've been, especially from Romans 6 on. And then it says, and guess what? This is the title statement of where we're going. So you have, in Romans 6, remember, we were talking about sin and how we died to sin. Remember that? We've been set free from sin. He who has died is freed from sin. That's Romans 6. Keep that word sin in your brain, okay? Romans 7 was, but guess what? We also died to the law so that we could be joined to Christ and bear fruit for God in newness of spirit, not oldness of letter. That's Romans 7. Dealing with law in Romans 7, dealing with sin in Romans 6. But as we got to the end of chapter 7, there was this lurking question, how? I know that Jesus Christ has delivered me from the bondage of the body of this death, but how? How? And that's also the question that Romans 8:2 answers for us. And in answering it, it opens up this whole new landscape. that says that what you've been learning about what happened at the cross is being made real and permanent by the presence of a person in you. And that's like, whoa. I mean, there were so many things along the way that if you were paying attention, you were saying to yourself, how's God doing this with me? And the answer is Romans 8:2. Let's see. We'll read 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the reason is the law, the governing power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of life, resurrection life in Christ Jesus has set you free. And it's so important to know that this is an aorist active indicative. I'm not showing off, but aorist active indicative means this is a statement of fact. This definitely already happened. That's so important. Because unfortunately, the trend in human nature, and particularly the trend in pulpits, unfortunately, is to put people under bondage again and again. And to say that there's something you got to do in order for this to happen in your life. But I'm telling you, it is finished. You know those words? What Christ said, the last thing he said on the cross? This already happened. You have already been set free forever from the governing power of sin. That's chapter 6. And the governing power of death. All right? So, and then the law is in front of it. And so this already happened. The very fact that the Holy Spirit, it's really important that the Holy Spirit's inside us. When we go through other places in the New Testament, you're going to find again and again that the marker that says, this means you, is the Holy Spirit inside, and therefore Christ inside. Christ in you, the hope of glory, all the way to glory. Christ in you, you have a certain confident expectation that God's for you all the way to glory. And that's a reason to get up in the morning. You see, here's the thing. The world that we were born into, how we were born into it, as children of Adam, dead in our trespasses and sins, you see, that had a direction to it. And it was down. It was all down. If you're in Adam, the direction of your life is down. Now, in a very kind of obvious way, think about how the body ages. Think about a newborn baby and how brimming with life it is. And then think about an 80-year-old person in the body. Now, I'm not saying, because believe me, the power of the life of Christ Jesus can overcome this and does. So I'm not talking about believers. I'm talking about unbelievers. But you think about the natural way in which God tries to get our attention to the fact that there's something missing in life without Christ. Even our bodies tell us that. And certainly our world does. I mentioned this many times when I was young. And idealistic and liberal as all get out. If you had met me in the 70s or the 80s, well, my wife knows. She knew me back then. She can tell you some stories, like who I voted for in the Democratic primary in 84 rather. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you want to know. Man, I'm not telling you. Maybe I will. But I bought into the whole thing that said, you know, we can do it. We can overcome all this stuff. We can defeat poverty and we can stop war and all that kind of stuff. I bought into it. I was young. I was foolish. What did I know? But the fact of the matter is that the same stuff that if you go all the way back to the Greek tragedies thousands of years ago and you read the frustration that they wanted something to happen and it didn't happen, those things have always been a part of human nature. What are we going to do to overcome death and disease? What are we going to do to overcome war and the fact that families break down? But everything breaks down without Christ. It does. This whole world does. I don't want to get into a whole discussion about the science of what's happening in the universe, but the fact of the matter is that it's rolling down. Everything is. Except the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's all up. Paul said, I'm looking forward to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, that's the only place where things are really going up. Isn't that great? And see, that's the kind of thing we got to tell people about. You know? Too many people have the idea that being a Christian means that you go to a place where everybody's always judging you. But they're always looking around for any indiscretion so they can talk about it and have church discipline. And all that stuff. Now, there's a place for church discipline, but you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of people that think that that's what Christianity is. Christianity is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. and the fact that his life has already overcome. Do you realize that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ literally has overcome every problem in life for humanity? That's a broad statement, but it's true. After all, if you do something that defeats Satan and this world and sin and death, guess what? You've overcome every problem that the human race has. Because every problem the human race has can be boiled down to something about Satan, something about this world, something about sin, or something about death. And when you overcome all of that, you overcome it all. And he is in you. That's a reason to get up in the morning. That is a reason to get up in the morning, that in you, the hope of glory, Jesus Christ, the Spirit, has overcome, has. Remember, that's why I pointed out a seemingly boring thing, like an aorist active indicative, is crucial to understand. This certainly happened already. You see? You see, that one of the big lies that Satan tries to put on us is that we got to work for things that God has already done for us. So watch for that. When that starts to happen, when you see something marvelous in God's Word, you know, ask me, and I'll look it up, but it's probably an indicative, meaning this is certainly true. And trust me, the world and our flesh and Satan are working overtime to try to convince us that there's something more you got to do. You can't rest in that. Watch out for that. Don't let that happen. Just come running to the Lord. When you feel that thing like, ooh, I'd love for this to be true, but I know there's something bad about me, run to the Lord immediately. And then say, I think I'm being deceived here, Lord. So can you help me? Can you have by the Spirit, can you put to death that deed of the body that's trying to get me discouraged again? All right? So this is amazing good news. Therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law, governing power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in you of life, pure, perfect, wonderful life from God has set you free already. From the law or the power of sin and death. Sin was the rebellion against God, but the life of the Spirit inside of you has defeated and has set you free from that rebellion and death, because you're going to live forever in a perfect place called heaven. And no matter what death tries to do to you, you realize that God has the final answer over death, and that's victory. There's victory in Jesus Christ. So in Romans 8:1, we're told there's no condemnation. We're told we're in the most marvelous place in the universe, river, and we've seen this already. Verse 2, it's really a new revelation because the Spirit comes on in, capstones everything that we've been looking at, and then puts the Spirit in. See, that's the great thing. I don't know about you, but when I was in Romans 6 and I saw this one command in Romans 6, if you remember what it was, you know, do not present the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God and present the members of your body as instruments of righteousness to God, Romans 6. But I don't know about you, but there was an incompleteness there. The reason is anytime the spotlight turns to us, trust me, there will be a sense of incompleteness. Like, this would be great, Lord, if I was confident I could actually do it. I mean, that's where I don't know where you were in Romans 6. That's where I was. I'm like, this is perfect. This will work every time. I know it, Lord, but the problem is me. The problem is me, and I don't know what's going to happen. And then in Romans 8:2, he answers it. He says, oh, no. Well, sometimes he does say that. You know how he had to use Abraham's name twice? Sometimes he has to say things five times to me. But anyway, no, that's seven. He says, no, here's the thing. He says, I've placed a person in you. That person gets it done. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Really? Really? You have no idea. I'm serious. I've been a believer for a long time. But let me tell you how freed up I've been by Romans 8:2. Oh, I know, we're there again. I don't care, because this is freedom. This is freedom. To realize that there's a governing power in your life that has already overcome sin and death and the requirements of the law, that is big. And it's a person. It's not a doctrine. It's not a teaching. It's not a thought. It's a person. There's a person in you that has already done this and really just wants to reveal to you what he's doing so that you don't make the foolish mistake of getting in the way all the time with the yeah, but, and I don't think I can. Because he can. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God lives in you as a believer in Jesus Christ. I don't get used to that. You know why I don't get used to it? Because I still have problems. I still have things inside of me, that the flesh, that is always trying to mess things up. That's Romans 7, right? We were there. Oh, where were we ever? Right? Mess things up. So I get reminders every day of how wonderful it is that I have the Spirit inside. And that He's the one who is at work. He's the one who is putting to death the deeds of this body that would otherwise send me careening towards destruction and death. But it won't, because of the Spirit who's inside me and inside you. I think that's exciting. I'm glad this is a cornerstone verse. I'm glad we're spending time on it. And we're going to spend a little time on it today. It's a revelation. Why is there no condemnation? How can it be that in this body, so recently described by Paul as a body of corruption and a body of death, that I'm in, how can there be no condemnation? Because of who God also put inside of you. God the Holy Spirit. The governing power of the Spirit of the life. Think about this. It's a governing power. In other words, it's power that rules, that prevails. And it does it uniformly. And it's God doing it. And it's life. It means life. This power is applied so that life reigns. And remember the title of today. Where life reigns, death cannot. Not might not. Cannot. Cannot reign. And notice, and I got to tell you again this morning this. Notice the thing that's repeated in verse 1 and verse 2. It's a place. In Christ Jesus. All right? Stevie Wonder wanted to find a place in the sun. Great song. Want to find me a place in the sun. Guess what? You have a place in the S-O-N. You have a place in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And it's repeated in verse 1 and verse 2, because that's where the no condemnation is. That's where the governing power of the Spirit operates. And you're there. You're already there. You know? You want to get to a place, they said, boy, if I could only get people in the 30s, when they were suffering from different illnesses, there were these hot springs that were around the country, and they said, if I can only get to that hot spring, I'll be okay. You're there. You're in Christ Jesus, where the power that overcomes death is there. The power that overcomes sin is there. The power that overcomes the bondage of the law is there. And you're there. You have arrived. You're in Christ Jesus. It transports us. Every time you see that phrase, see how it's transporting you to where your real life is now. That's how you do it. You see something, and it's there dozens of times in the New Testament. We're going to get to Ephesians 1 again today. You're going to see it again and again and again in the context of blessing, because you're there. You've arrived. You are in Christ Jesus. And this is the life that you have now. The thing about it is that we're also still, it's a weird thing, we're also still in this world. And what my eyes are telling me and your eyes are telling you, what your ears, when you hear stuff, and even sometimes the thoughts inside of you, all don't tell you this. They all scream at you that there's problems and difficulties and you can never make it. But when you get to the Bible and you find that phrase, in Christ Jesus, you say, that's where I am, and that's a place where all things are possible, because Christ has already overcome all that stuff that my eyes are trying to tell me about, my ears are trying to bring me down with. Christ Jesus has already overcome it. And you can always go there. You can always go there. It's not downtown. I say, I don't know why these songs are coming to me this morning. But it's in Christ Jesus. Anytime you want. What I mean by go there, you say, well, what do you mean I have to go there if I'm already there? Up here. I mean, the worst thing in the world is for somebody to be in a great place, but up here, they're not there. And it's an endemic now. My kids are going to hate me right about now. I'm just giving you a fair warning for what I'm about to say. It's endemic because of the boxes, the phones, the computers. In other words, people could be in this great place with all of their friends, but here they're not there because they're here. They're over here looking at an Instagram of some car crash when all their friends are there. And let me tell you, young people, your life will not always be a life where all your friends are there. Enjoy it now. But the fact of the matter is that this is the only place where we can't be there unless we decide to be there. And that's one thing if it's a party. But if it's in Christ Jesus and your brain's not there and your heart's not there, that's a big problem. You're there, but you don't know it, or you're not looking at it. There's nothing more annoying than to be with somebody you love, and all they're doing, you're at dinner, and all they're doing is looking out the window as if there's somebody else out there that's more important than you. That's what we kind of do a lot. We're in Christ Jesus, but we're always like, he's like, yo, I'm here. I have everything for you. I overcome death. What are you looking at? What are you looking for at Walmart? I overcame death. What are you looking for? What are you looking for your next date? I overcame sin. And trust me, that guy's just got big problems, but I'll tell you later. You know? What are you looking for? You got it all in him. All the treasures, the Bible says, are in Christ Jesus. And that's where you are. Stop looking out the window for something else. That's what that word abiding means. There's a word abiding a lot. It means your heart. Don't be looking for anything else. All right. So this is true. We are in Christ Jesus. But here's the thing. We have to see it. We have to see that that's true, right? How many times have you been with somebody that you love, but they don't see it? They don't see your love for them. It's there, but they don't see it. And if they don't see it, it's not working for them, is it? It's not. You know, how many times have I seen parents that love their children dearly, but the kids don't want to take it in? Grandparents, right? Friends. How many times have you had a friend in your life that you love dearly, and you know you can help them, but they don't want any part of it? You see, we have to see it and know that it's true. But once you do, you, with that little phrase, in Christ Jesus, you have the key that opens the doors to the most marvelous things in life. You know, things like blessings and happiness. Last Sunday, after service, Keith Ian, myself, and Dale were hanging out over here. And while we were here, I was eavesdropping on the real conversation between Dale and Keith Ian. And he said some marvelous things. First of all, he pointed out that we have been blessed, Ephesians 1:3, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, where? In Christ. Marvelous. But then he said something that really hit me. He says, and I want to find out what all those blessings are. Woo! Yeah, baby! That's the key. You can read Ephesians 1:3 till you're blue in the face. And I mentioned this, I get blue in the face because I have shaving cream that's blue. So every morning I get a reminder of what that means. You can read it till you're blue in the face. But the day you see it as true about you is the day when everything changes. The day you say, wow, me, wretched man that I am, have been blessed, already happened, by the way, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Another reason to get up in the morning. Look, you know what the Bible says about all the other stuff, the earthly so-called blessings, you know, where moth can eat and rust destroy and thieves steal and people that got to the sale before you did get it and you don't. You know, those kind of things, those earthly things. Pray for Sue Halverson this morning, those of you who know her, even if you don't. Because her husband just went home to be with the Lord. And so it's another reminder, you know, that we're pilgrims on this earth. We're not made for earth, ultimately. We're really not, especially Christians. Jewish people are made for the earth. That's a whole other topic for another day. In eschatology, there will be an earthly kingdom forever. And, you know, the New Jerusalem, I might as well tell you, the New Jerusalem sits there as like the bridge or the cornerstone between heaven and earth. And that's why everybody hangs out in the New Jerusalem. But we're Christians are heavenly people. Our citizenship is where? In heaven. So where are our blessings? In the heavenly places. What a challenge, though, because like when we're checking out Jesus' resurrection, you know, and Thomas didn't believe it. Remember that? And Thomas said, unless I put my hand in his side and feel the nail prints in his hands, I won't believe. And then that happened. Jesus said, if that's what he needs, man, but I'll do it. And he goes and he does it. Right? And then what does he say to Thomas? This is the most important thing. He says, you know, Tommy, I love Tommy, you believe because you saw, but how happy, I'll put it this way, how happy those are who haven't seen and yet believe. And as true as that is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is also true about your blessings because they're spiritual. And you got to, see, that's the thing about spiritual blessing. You're going to need a guide. I mean, trust me, I think most of us are really good at sniffing out and finding and hoarding earthly blessings. We don't need a guide for that. We need, most of the time we need somebody to tell us, stop, right? But heavenly blessings, we need a guide. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 2:9. Because eye has not seen, 1 Corinthians 2:9. I want to find out what all those blessings are. Okay, you're going to need a guide. Why? Because they're spiritual, and they're in the heavenly places. And I don't know about you, but my eyes don't do spiritual directly, and I've never been to the heavenly places. Maybe you have. If you have, like I've said many times, I know some really good doctors. All right? If you think you've been to the heavenly places, Paul went there once, but he couldn't say what he saw. So that wasn't really any help to us. It was a help to him, but it wasn't a help to us. You're going to need help. I always marveled at why was it that, the carnal me, right? Why was it that Jesus, after he rose from the dead, man, how come he didn't just go everywhere? Why didn't he go to Rome and say, yo, here I am, I rose from the dead, and go to Athens and Alexandria and tell everybody, look. Why didn't he do that? He only went to people who believed in him. He only went to his friends that he ate bread with. You know? Why? I'll tell you why. Because blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Sure, he could do that. But he was tired of doing that. He did that with the nation of Israel. He produced an incredible miracle of parting the Red Sea. And then weeks later, they're like, nah. Am I wrong? He's tired of trying to say, well, if I just show them with their eyes, and then they'll be great. No, they won't. But if I place my spirit in them, then they will be. See, that's the secret weapon. That's what I want you to understand. You need a guide into every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. That guide is God the Holy Spirit. But he lives in you, and he's your helper. And Jesus said in the Gospel of John, and I skipped this one, I'm sorry, but he said that he is given to disclose everything about me to you. So that's it, man. You want to know all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places? The Holy Spirit is your helper to bring you to all those things. Because you want to know something? You know where every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, where they are? This is not a trick question, guys. I've already told you this about 5 times today. In Christ Jesus. So if somebody knows what's in Christ Jesus, then that somebody can show you all your spiritual blessings. That somebody is God the Holy Spirit. It gets simple. I love it. Because, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places sounds complicated. Like, as a pastor, I get intimidated. Whoa. They're going to come and ask me about every spirit. I got to do a lot of studying. Sounds complicated. But then, once again, in the greatness of God, he goes like this. I've given you my spirit. Stop whining and complaining and all this. He will guide you into them in a way you can handle them. We pastors are famous to try to put lists out there and gather every Bible verse on this and every place where this verse occurs and 5,842 blessings. I don't know about you, but I can't handle 5,842. I told you the number I like. 3. As in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you think I'm kidding, but it all boils down to that. Just like it all boils down to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1, 2, 3. Right? Yeah. I know I'm a sinner. God gave me the Savior for my sins. I believe. 1, 2, 3. That's a number I can handle. That's a number I think most of you can handle. So he just gives us the Spirit to do it. So we don't have to worry about lists and, all that. We just have to realize Holy Spirit's inside us. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And we've already seen in Romans 5 that the Holy Spirit poured the love of God into your heart. So guess what? If you're a believer in Christ, you got it. And he has prepared things that you have no idea about. But let's keep reading. I love this next one. For to us. Can I call a timeout quickly here? Okay, the us here is the people that Paul was writing to and Paul and his other apostles. Who is he writing to here in this letter? This letter, the Corinthians. Yes. Who are they like? Oh, the giggles. Yeah. I mean, they were people, and actually in the very next chapter, Paul's basically going to say, look, guys, you know, I was there and I know and you believed in all that, but the way you're behaving and the reports I'm getting, I'm not even sure some of you guys are saved. I mean, kind of, he didn't say it. He was nice about it. You're still acting like the unbeliever, man. What's going on? You're like going into the idols' temples and you're like having sex with prostitutes and that guy's married and his son is trying to sneak around with his wife and it's just a mess over there. It's a total mess. Right? That's not the lampstand, guys. That is not the place where I want to bring people to so they can say, oh, this is grace. They're all rivalries and people were hoarding their own food at the Lord's Supper, not giving it to the poor. Come over here. This is what I mean about the body. No, Jesus said, that's not it. Right? Big problems. Yet, in verse 10, the us is that crowd. For to us, you know, miserable, bitter, biting, rivalries, messing up, falling for the lust of the flesh, us. God revealed them, what? Things the eye hasn't seen. How? Through the Spirit. Spirit came to you the moment you believed in Christ. You hadn't done anything. All you did was, you were ungodly, you were a sinner, and you believed. That's it. That's what you brought to the party. Hey, I'm an ungodly sinner. I mean, really, that's what the gospel tells us. I'm an ungodly sinner. Make me into your son. Wow. And God said, do you believe he died for you? Yep. And rose from the dead? Yep. Okay, you're in. Seriously. I mean, that's really what this is. This is why it's good news. Wow. And he said, he who began a good work in you, the Holy Spirit who made you born again and gave you this life, will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Wow. It's like our friend Doug said. He said, man, I love that we're in Romans 8. I said, why is that? Because, man, that's a sweet deal. That's how he put it. Romans 8 is a sweet deal. And it is. It's a sweet deal. That's what grace is. For God, to us, God revealed them to us, messed up, full of division, sin-drenched in many cases. God revealed them, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. And so he reveals these things to us, and then he's busy conforming. He's busy now conforming us into the image of Christ. Think of it. He comes to us and he says, look, here's something else about Christ you got to know about. And then he says, and by the way, I am at work making you to become more and more like that thing that Christ is. Sweet deal. Sweet deal. Look, Jesus Christ is full of grace. And you have no idea. So you can get to the point, though, with the Spirit where you can pick any page of Scripture out and see the grace of God at work. And when you start to see that, you see how wonderful Jesus is. And then the Spirit comes and goes, knock, knock. Who's there? Holy Spirit. Spirit who? No, he wasn't. Spirit of grace. And he says, guess what? Now that you see how wonderful grace is, it's time for you to know that I'm working on you to make you more gracious. And you can do that with any of the fruit of the Spirit, love. You know, you first see it in Christ and marvel at it, and then you realize that that's the fruit of the Spirit, and he's working on you, make you more lovely, make you more kind, make you more patient. All right? But realize this, that as he's doing that, trust me on this, that the enemies of Christ will also be working to try to lie to you and tell you it's not happening. And guess how they'll do it? They won't point to Christ, and they won't point to the Bible. You know what they'll point to? Your stinking flesh. Excuse me, but that's what they'll try to do. My stinking flesh. And say, look at you. How could that be happening? You can't do that. So watch for that. But don't fall for it. Get your eyes back on Jesus, right? How do you run? You know, a lot of times we walk. How do you run in the Christian way of life? Real simple. Stare at Jesus. Hebrews 12:2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's how we run the race. That's all we got to do. It's not complicated, you know. But you got to hear it over and 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 over. All right. So that's what he's doing. He's showing you something about Christ, and he's reminding you that he's making you into that, so that one day, everything that today is in Christ, every person who is in Christ, listen to this now, will be completely Christ. See, that's what the resurrection of the body is. Because the one thing, no matter how far we go in just soaking in the truth of who we are in Christ, we still, every day we're here, got to deal with this thing. This body, and it's caused full of the flesh. So it's really going to be a problem. You can't say, I am not completely Christ. Why? Because of this body. Right? Okay. Other things too, by the way. I need a lot of mind renovation too. I'm not saying that. I haven't arrived in that sense in the mind, you know. The mind's often the last to get there, you know. But in any event, but one day we'll get there. Because the Bible says in 1 John that when we see him, we'll recognize him because we're like him. Wow. We'll see him for what he is, and we'll recognize, hey, wait a minute. That's what the Spirit's been doing with me. And look, my body is a resurrection. I don't have those things tugging at me anymore. I don't think you wake up after the rapture, but I woke up today, whatever you do, I don't know. And I said, wow, all of those things that used to plague me, that every day I got this reminder of, it's not there anymore. I'm not feeling any of that anymore. Wow. And then I'll be completely Christ. Now, not God the Son, but in his humanity, you know, his virtues, his who he is in his humanity. Wow. And then not just us, and we'll get to this in Romans 8, because it's an amazing chapter. Not just us that day, but we'll look around, and this whole earth will be that, full of righteousness. We'll look up, everywhere we look, the animals, the stars, it'll all be screaming Christ. Now, I don't know how he's going to do it, but that's what the Bible says. Righteousness everywhere. Can you imagine what kind of a day that is? You know, and we need to be reminded in these last days, because remember, every other trend is down. If you're out there and you're looking at the world, you're looking in the wrong place today. You will get discouraged. You won't have energy for the walk and the run. You won't, because you'll be looking at all the negativity that Satan placed in the is like revving up. The Bible says in the last days, difficult times will come because men will be lovers of self, and on it goes. Even the church, we're studying the book of Revelation. Even the church, meaning the institutional, visible church, will be like Laodicea, where Jesus will be on the outside looking in and saying, yo, can anybody hear me? In general. Right? But there's always that little flock of Philadelphia who hears them. Right? There's always a remnant. But we're in a difficult time. And so it's imperative that pastor teachers of goodwill build up the flock with the good news, not only of what happened at the cross, but what's going to happen. It's going to happen. Past and future. All right? So that we're not all locked into the ugly present. And so, the whole universe. Now, I want to make sure that I show you this in the Bible, because I know that at a certain point you might say, wow, man, that pastor Folly, he had some crazy dreams last night. You know, this isn't just a dream, though. It's in the Word of God. And just like we need to soak up Romans 8 again and again and again, and we'll be doing that, we also need to soak up Ephesians 1 again and again and again, especially in these dark last days. All right? I just want you to know that. There's certain places of refuge. You know, in the Old Testament, they had these cities of refuge that you could go to, that even when the death angels after you, you could go to this place and be protected. Well, there's certain places in the epistles that when things get too heavy, you go to those places to build you back up again. And two of them are Romans 8 and Ephesians 1. All right? To find out how richly full our life really is, because Christ Jesus is our complete, full, and only life. You've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, you will also be revealed with him in glory. So let's keep our eyes there. Ephesians 1:1. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, so see, we're not just in Romans 8, guys. We're also in Ephesians. So if your friends are asking you what you're studying, and they, you know, you've told them Romans 8, tell them Ephesians 1. We're studying Ephesians 1, too. And you know what else we're studying? We're studying Revelation. And you know what else we're studying? We're going to study Nehemiah this week. See, most of you will give me these funny looks because you're not there. Because we're studying Nehemiah on Monday night at 6 with the young people. And we're studying Revelation on Thursday in the informal Bible study. So we're studying a lot of things. So if you come join us, you will be too. All right. A little commercial there. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Oh, there it is. See it? In Christ Jesus. That's your key. Something wonderful is coming. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what got us started today, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, what? Notice, has blessed us. He's not holding out. He's not waiting for the super saints to do super things. No, already did it. Has blessed us. This crowd, by the way, still had people that were stealing and all kinds of stuff, because Paul's going to have to tell them to cut it out in chapter 4. These weren't perfect people either. But so, same thing, has blessed us. God the Father blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. See, that wasn't my dream when I couldn't sleep or Dale's. We're talking about that because it's Bible. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Where? In Christ. The key. Just as he chose us, where? In him. Oh, some of the people that get all twisted and contorted about choosing an election, they hardly ever mentioned that part. We were selected to be in Christ for a special purpose. Oh, okay. So you mean maybe part of that would be like he knew you're going to believe, but then he figured, I want to put this one just because I'm God and I can. I want them to be born in 1960. That way they'll be where? In Christ. He chose me to be in Christ. He could have chosen me to be with David, you know? And then I would be in Psalm 51 saying, don't take your spirit away from me. But he didn't. He chose me to be in Christ where I have the spirit forever. Thank you, God. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. When did he do it? Did he do it because you, well, lately you've been really praying and you've been reading your Bible every day, you know? Is that why he did it? No, that couldn't possibly be, because when did he do it? Before the foundation of the world. Are you getting this? God blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places and chose you to be in his Son, Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world. Whew. You know what I mean? Doesn't that expand your mind a little? Doesn't that make you feel like we're about to get big picture stuff here? Yeah. And then he goes on, that we would be holy and blameless before him. He's got some work to do on that with me. But anyway, he sees that I was already complete. In love, he predestined us to what? To the lake of fire, if you're not, you know, the special people. Does it say that? Does it say even that he predestined us to heaven? What did he predestine us? Believers in the church age, adoption as sons. No longer slaves, but sons. Before Christ, you were under the law, and you were in a situation of bondage. But now that Christ has come, you, blessed people, graced out people who are now believers, are adopted as sons. Through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us, where? That place. There's a place in the sun where there's room for everyone. Gotta find me a place in the sun. The sun, S-O-N, that's right, in Christ, in the beloved. And then look, verse 7, how does it start again? In him. You know why? Because God knows we get lost easily up here. Our mind. He knows. We're sitting here. It's 11:03. You know, this Bible class is nice and everything, but what am I doing this afternoon? He knows we like to look out the window of life when we're here. So he's got to keep reminding us where we are. In him. In Christ. In Christ Jesus. In the Beloved. What do we have? Already have it. Redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses. You know? You don't have to go looking for how to be forgiven. You have it in Christ. All right. The forgiveness of our trespasses. According to the riches of his grace, which he did what? Which he reluctantly gave us a little bit because he tolerates us. He doesn't love us. I heard people say that, by the way. But I won't get into that. No. He lavished them on us. Why? Because of the kindness of his heart toward us who are where? In Christ Jesus. See, we got to get used to the idea that God treats us according to who we're in. He treats us according to Christ. Now, is there anything too good for Jesus Christ? Mm-mm. Therefore, is there anything too good for you? Mm-mm. Why? Because there's something good about you, the way you were born or raised, or that said the right prayers, or did the right rosaries? No. Because of who you're in. You're in Christ Jesus. And therefore, there's nothing too good for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what this is saying. According to the riches of his grace, he lavished things on us. And that's what you should ask yourself a question. Whenever you're getting graced out and you're feeling a little insecure about it, you should just say, on what basis is this happening? You know, did I get that job because I did so well? I'm a winner believer and I learned the right doctrines and I confessed my sins 180 times and I prayed exactly the right way for a week. And therefore, I got the job. No, you're looking in the wrong place. You're going to be, trust me, because the problem with that is that as soon as you don't do all that stuff right, and you won't, all of a sudden you'll be looking around and think he's going to take it, or something bad's going to happen to me. And you know, bad things happen in threes. How's that for a lie from the pit of hell? Good things happen in threes. Get that story out. No, he did it because of the riches of his grace. He doesn't wake up in the morning and I want a report on what happened with Farley for the last 24 hours to see if I can give him something today. You know what he looks at? He says, wow, I'm gracious God. I want to give him something today. Isn't that all the difference in the world? Isn't that why we're here? Isn't that the good news? Isn't it about him and not about us? It certainly, certainly is. No, it's according to the riches of his grace which he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, verse 8 and 9, he made known to us the mystery of his will. It's about him. He wants you to know these things according to his what? Kind intention. Feel it. Feel the love in Ephesians 1. The kind intention, the riches of his grace that he lavished on us, the beloved, which he purposed in Christ. There it is again. Okay? With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, which is what? The summing up of all things in Christ. See, you and I are part of a project that's so huge you couldn't believe it. When God says, I hasn't seen, he hasn't heard, he means it. You see, we're part of something where God took a look from Genesis forward and he said, look what a mess Satan has made of my creation. You know, he's saying, we have these vicious animals now that men are afraid of. We have terrible things going on in the stars. We have hurricanes. And this was never the original design. And I have my people. I wanted to live forever in a precious, perfect garden. Well, all they did was every day they just woke up and loved me, and I loved them, and I gave them everything they needed. But that didn't happen because that serpent found a way to have them look out the window. Hey, Adam, what? I wonder if there's something better. What do you mean? I don't know. I just have this feeling inside. I'm just not. I don't know. Maybe there's something else. Serpent sees his chance. Oh, there's something else. The liar and the deceiver and the murderer. There was nothing else. You should check out Genesis 3 sometime and see how everything that the liar, and I would use swear words if I was somewhere else, and deceiver and murderer told Eve that she needed to turn her back on God to get was already in the garden. It was all there. And that's us. When we're in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places and we're, I I wonder what else I can get out there. Same thing, you know? But you see, God is not intimidated by any of that. That's the point. I'm going to send my son. He is going to have victory over the devil, over death, over sin, and everything else that I forgot to mention. And he's going to have victory over that, and that victory is going to spill out in his resurrection, and it's going to go forward wherever the gospel is preached, and men are going to be saved. But not only that, those men who are saved, one day I'm going to give them a resurrection body. And when I do, you see, not only will they be reconciled to me and to each other, which is going on now, which is why we have so many commands in the New Testament about one another and building each other up and loving each other and taking care of each other, because that's part of the grand design to sum up everything in Christ, the way God originally wanted it, the way he wants families. Why do you think there's such a big fight about gay marriage right now? You want to know why? Because that's not the way God wanted to sum things up. He wants to sum things up when a man meets a woman, right? And do it that way. And then have children that are orderly and under the authority of their parents, and have parents loving their children, and men sacrificing for their wives, and wives saying, you know what? God's put you on the point position, and I honor and respect you, and I'm right there with you. Why? Because that's summing things up. That's building, not destroying. That's what he wants. And he's saying, I'm starting with my church, but I'm going all the way. I'm going to bring everything summed up in its right proper place, and it'll all be built up in my son, including all of creation. And when my son is done with everything being summed up in him, he's going to know what he's going to do, the most amazing thing. He's going to do kind of like what George Washington did after he won the, and they wanted to make him king. He says, no, I'm not going to be king. And Jesus says, I'm going to take this, and I'm going to give it all to you, Dad. Wow. Wow. That's what we're a part of. That's what we're a part of. He's summing up all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on earth. And he's starting with us. But because of grace. And I hope that gives you more an idea of what grace is all about. It's all about him. It's all about him taking not many wise, not many mighty, starting with the worst sinner who ever lived and going from there and saying, you know what, this is just a matter of you humbling yourself and realizing you can't do any of this. I'm doing it. I'm doing it in you. And you're going to love it. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much this morning, even though we only got to page 5, but that's okay. It's not about pages. It's about the truth that sets us free. And Father, if there's anybody here who has not yet believed in your Son, Jesus Christ, may they know for sure today that you love them with a precious love. You love them so much that you sent your precious Son, Jesus Christ, to die for them so that all their sins would be wiped away. And then 3 days later, you raised them from the dead so that they would know this has happened. A miracle. And the greatest miracle is forgiveness. And you forgive us of all our sins on the basis of the blood of Christ. And to know that and to believe it is heaven on earth. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And Father, for all of us here today, we would just ask that the Holy Spirit would continue his work of conforming us to your Son, Jesus Christ, because we know that all things are being summed up in him, things on the heavens and things on the earth. And we just thank you so much that you've placed us in that whole process. And we know it's all by grace and by love. And we know that what we are to do is to simply believe good news over and over and over again. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Spirit. Amen. All righty. So already mentioned this morning about giving, and I hope that's on your heart. You know, we don't pass around the hat here. We just go in the back in that beautiful lot that we don't own, and we go out in the tree there, and we just take money off it. And if you believe that, no. No, we have needs, you know. Once in a while we do make them known when they're critical. But generally speaking, the way it works is that believers in Christ, motivated by their own attitude and their own desire to want to see this message go out, just freely give when they can. And that's what we expect. So that's what we trust in. So when that happens, we do have a box in the back you can place your offering in. If you're going to give something to Grace Prison Ministries, just make sure you write that on the check or on the envelope so we know to direct it to Keithian's organization. All right? And with that, you're dismissed. Have a great day, everybody.